Good afternoon and welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in the studio with our guests again, Janelle and Haley. And last time, if you were listening, we talked about the Master Teacher. And many of them shared what the Master Teacher has been teaching them. Mine was forgiveness. So we need to go on, and I think
today Haley's
going to share the story. Yeah. And we are going to be looking for what Christ has revealed, the divine power and authority, and what it looks like, and also and what it causes in us.
It's a wonderful thing. And thank you so much for those that shared last week. You need to go back and hear some of the testimonies of how God's at work in our lives. And I'm excited that Haley is volunteering to tell us our Bible passage today.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
It's going to go great. Yep. Because it's the Word. And when the Word is spoken, people are released. I mean, honestly and truly, because it says the truth will set you free. And right. So when we speak the word, even though we may not know that the divine power and authority is being revealed, because we think, oh, I'm just telling a Bible passage, mm-hmm. but the reality is it is divine power and authority. So Haley, have at it and share with us Luke 5, 1 through 11.
All right. Well, since our focus today is kind of divine power and authority, I also kind of flip back. And just for a little bit of context, you hear a little bit about what God has kind of, or what Jesus has done before. And it talks about how before this, he had spoken in Nazareth. After that, he had been driving out evil spirits and healing lots of people. And so by this point, when Jesus is by the Lake of Galilee, I think he's really got people's attention now, because, you know, normal people don't drive out evil spirits and heal
That's
diseases
exactly
that people
right.
have had for years. Mm-hmm. So they're like, this guy, he's got something. So Jesus, at this point, he can't even get a minute alone. He's trying to, you know, go off by himself, pray, spend some time with God. And the people are just following him everywhere, will not leave him alone. And it says the crowds are so huge that they're pressing in and, like, crushing him. And they've driven him to like the edge of this lake, and so he gets in a boat to speak, because the crowds are just so like so ridiculous and so huge to the point that it's like suffocating. And that's just such a visual picture for me, to the point you can't move, you can't breathe. So he gets into this boat so that he can teach the people. And a few times ago we've been kind of talking about how when he's on the boat and on the water, that being on the water amplifies his voice, so that he can speak to the people and give them those words that they're hungering for so much. And then once he's done teaching, Simon Peter, he's one of the fishermen that he borrowed the boat from, he looks at him and he says, go out into the deep water and cast out your nets. And at this point, this is like a really huge part for me, is Simon Peter, he'd been fishing all night long. And I don't know if you guys have ever worked a night shift before, but I have. And by the time I'm just getting off, I mean, they're just folding up their nets, ready to go. They're like, yes, sleep, awesome. And yeah, so at this point, like, if it were me, I'd be like, oh my goodness, I'm so tired, I don't want to. But, you know, and this is just another, like, emphasis on Jesus's power and his divine authority, because even though at this point Peter's probably exhausted, he's like, you know what? I'm a fisherman, and I've done this before, and I haven't caught anything at all before. So you'd think at this point you'd be feeling like, you don't know what you're talking about. But he looks at Jesus, and he goes, you know, it hasn't been working all night, but because you say to, you know, because you have this authority, we'll go and do that. And lo and behold, they get out there and, you know, they just put their nets in and the fish just overflow. They're all over the place, which is another, like, if you can picture that, like, so many fish that a boat sinks, I mean,
that's a lot of fish.
That's so much so that it says, I think, even there, that even the other boats start to sink, because, I mean, they're calling for help. Mm-hmm. And it says they came, filled both boats so full that they both began to sink. So, I mean, this is a lot of fish. And at this point, Simon is so in awe, again, of this authority, of this, you know, this divineness of Jesus, that he just falls on the ground and says, go away from me, for I am a sinner. And Jesus says, and I can just kind of hear how he would say it in this very, like, calming and very, like, just comforting voice, "Do not be afraid of me." And he says, "For I will, from now on, you will catch men." And he says, "Come and follow me." And then they just drop everything they're doing and go and follow Jesus. Mm. And I just think it's so awesome.
I agree. I agree. Thank you, Haley. Yay! Yay! You know, I love it. Are they amazing?
Yeah,
I mean, like, last week, Janelle, and this week, Haley, it's like, wow, wow, wow. Awesome. Love having you guys share. Thank you. You know, God is amazing. And I love how, Haley, you took the time to set context and to show, because you immediately connected. I love the way you're thinking on the spot and connecting to how he was revealing his divine power and authority. So thank you on that. I'm wanting us now, as we ponder this passage, in what ways was Jesus's divine authority revealed? Just think of it, look at it, you know, whether you take from the context or the actual Bible story that she shared from in Luke 5, 1 through 11. What are different ways that we saw or we see, as we read it, Jesus's power and authority?
Well, obviously, the fish, I mean, because yeah. I was just kind of thinking about, I mean, like, how is it that Jesus is so powerful that he even commands fish, mm-hmm. like, not just people, he even commands, you know, sea creatures.
I love it.
So,
yeah, I mean, you know, you kind of wonder, were they just leaping in the nets?
Yeah.
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 I just think it's just the power of his word.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, I mean, with that example, and then, you know, the do not be afraid, don't be afraid. Mm. I mean, those are, you know, those are,
it's just
I mean, it's, yeah, it I mean, it's just the word, his
yeah,
words,
right? Yeah, or just come follow me, and they do.
Yeah.
Simple words.
Yep.
It's not complicated. You
know, we make it complicated.
In this particular passage, Jesus gives four commands total. It's cast your net, do not be afraid, I will make you a fisher of men, and come follow mm-hmm. me. And as I was praying through that, and I'm getting teary-eyed, what does that look like? Cast your net, Tara. Mm. Where's your net? Mm. Wherever your net is, don't be afraid, and I will make you a fisher of men. Come follow me. And so oftentimes we will struggle through, as we're pondering circumstances, should I, shouldn't I, or whatever, and it's just, it's not complicated. It's a very simple thing that, we just need to move forward, which is the casting, and then trusting him, not being afraid, and then doing what we're supposed to do with the word, making fishers of men, mm-hmm. and making sure that it's Jesus I'm following and not something else, mm-hmm. someone yeah. else.
You know, it's been on my heart a lot lately about some of my friends that are not saved.
Mm.
And so when you're saying that, you know, I've been praying about what to do and how to do it and how to approach them. You know, and I like to write poetry, so I think that's what he wants me to do, is put it in a poetry form.
Okay.
You know, and go talk to them.
That's a great way to cast a net. Mm. It is a very great way. Have you put anything to pen yet?
Not yet.
Not yet, but mm-hmm. it's there.
It's working.
It's working. Awesome. We look forward to hearing it when you have
yeah.
it. You know, our casting of our net can be different for each of us. And so today, how are you being challenged to cast your net? You know, what is it that he's asking of you? Somebody is listening and they're being asked to do something and they're afraid to cast that net for the Lord. You know, how is God asking you to cast that net? And what does that look like? And the key is go with the word. And that can only happen if we have studied the Bible. I love mm-hmm. how last session Tanya had shared, I'm like, well, I can't even remember what session it was. Tanya had shared about how God was waking her up every morning mm-hmm. and she was making sure she was getting in the word and then she was able to cast the net and give the word. And so first and foremost in the call to becoming a fisherman, it has to be in the word.
Mm-hmm. That's why the forgiveness I was talking about. Today my devotional was talking about forgiving. You know, and how Jesus expects us to forgive 70 times 7. And, you know, we just need to remember, my goodness, why would we not forgive anybody? He has forgiven so much
right. mm. mm-hmm.
of us. And why do we hold that and hold on to it?
Mm.
So that's where he's working in my heart. Yeah, letting go of that, whatever it is, of the difficult person. I mean, obviously, I'm a difficult person with people, too, so it works both ways.
It does.
Well, it's a choice.
It is a choice.
It's a choice.
It's an intentional choice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm trying to be intentional about this.
That's good. Tanya?
Another job I have is coaching at Omaha Football Club. And I've probably been there about 3 years. This year, there's actually a girl that I don't coach. Their family approached me for me to do a kind of start meeting with her and mentoring her. I also train kids on the side, so I thought that's what they were talking about. But no, they're just wanting her to be alongside of someone that loves the Lord and continue it in the sport. And she's a really, really good player. She's on a really good team. But I had a heart for this other team that I was helping with to bring them to our the times that we would meet, Anna and I, and to have other people to join us to bring them along. And so that's come to fruition. There's three other girls, and they were going through a book called The Handbook on Athletic Perfection, which is kind of an oxymoron, but it's all about it's all about how you handle things, how you your response to sport. But it's it goes through the word. It's solid. It's right on.
That's
but
so good.
It's really neat. And I'm just thinking as you're saying this, I'm like, oh, I can't wait till we open this up, and these girls will be the ones that will pour into all the other ones when we make it big. Because there's 5,000 kids probably there. So but I had a little bit of a fear, like, oh, do we meet? At OFC in the building down there, or what will people think? You know, I go through that, and it was silliness. So it's been awesome.
I love it. Yeah. And as you were talking, Tanya, I was visualizing the casting of the net and how the casting of the net is drawing in many. Mm-hmm. It never is just one.
Right.
And stuff. And so that is a huge, huge factor. And we have to be in the mindset as thinking through the divine authority. When you talked about the Bible study you're doing, it's the solid. You said it's the Word.
Right.
And so divine authority, where does that come from? I want to make sure we get that clear, because Jesus gave to Peter divine authority. He revealed. His divine authority was revealed that day. That is what made Peter drop to his knees.
Right.
Uh-huh. And so where does our divine authority come from?
From the Word.
The Bible. The Bible. And so when we're in question, I know I'm holding it up. If you can visualize, Janelle's making fun of me as I'm like shaking my Bible in the studio. Which everybody here knew that. It's just, we have to make sure it's in the Word. Greg and I were recently discussing the fact that a lot of times when we can get into circumstances in Bible settings where we're teaching the Bible, we can do a lot of shared, Lord, forgive me, ignorance. No. I'm sorry. No. I don't mean that to be rude. Where we actually will dialogue and give answers and solutions to one another, and it's not from the Word.
Oh, right.
And so we, as a husband and wife, we were just discussing this week. It's like, how can we take this to another level? How can we train our people to help them recognize it has to be through the authority of the Word of God? And praying through, how can we do this so that we're not offensive? Mm-hmm. As we're trying to train our people back to, okay, you know, I think that's a good answer, but let's see what the Bible has to say. How would the Bible handle this circumstance? So when somebody comes to us in the call to discipling, the narrative to come and join God in his story, our responsibility is, how can I bring them back into the narrative, the Word of God? That has to be first and foremost, because that's where divine authority comes from. Mm-hmm. That's where we are able to speak with divine authority. And it's crazy, because you'll be speaking scripture and you may not quote book, chapter, and verse, but I mean, and I, one of my favorites, I know you three probably know this, is Reliable Communication Permits Progress, which is the Living Bible Translation. I said that recently in a setting, and but I wasn't quoting the verse. I just said it to the person. The person's like, oh, say that again. I need to write that down. And I started to laugh because I didn't give that it was from the Word, and this person wasn't a believer. and I said, well, actually, it's from the Bible. Yeah. And they're like, what? And then I was able to explain. It opened up the door for me to reveal the authority. So in that one, I was using it as a hook to draw somebody in. And so we need to, in the call to discipling, to always have our minds thinking, how can I bring them into the Word?
Bring the Word, yeah. That's what I was thinking with that poetry that I'm thinking about. I'm going to bring in the Scriptures without quoting the Scripture.
Yeah.
You know, without writing it there.
Well, and the people need to know where the authority comes
from. Absolutely. And it's so freeing because you're never concerned that you're giving wrong wisdom or counsel, advice, whatever. I mean, it's straight. It's just
right there.
It's from Him.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I've had situations where and this was when at the Open Door Mission one time in my classroom where I was teaching on Genesis 1, and I had a man get angry at me because I said, you know, that God was the creator of heaven and earth, and we were actually studying Genesis 1. And, I mean, he was really upset. I mean, like, I can't even tell you how upset he was. And I just picked up my Bible, and I put my finger on Genesis 1 and showed him, as I read it out loud, what the Bible said. And it stopped him.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, it's not me saying it. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you. Mm-hmm. It's in the Bible. The Bible is the authority. And he was just, it stopped him because he had never seen it before.
Wow. Yeah.
And so for some people, it's that they have never encountered the Word.
Right.
And they've had a lot of lies taught to them and spoken to them. And that's where we have to remember that's where our divine authority comes from.
Reminds me of the verse that talks about how can people know
if they have
the amazing news of the gospel if nobody's bringing the Word of God to them.
Or Romans 7:7, which says, I would not have known I had sinned if I had not heard the Word.
Yes.
And in this case, because Jesus is the Word, it was different. They didn't have it in written form where we do. He was with the Word, and so the Word dropped him to his knees. Whereas in our case, it is we have the Word so that we can study it, and then the Word will be what will drop people to their knees, not us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we want you to come back next week.
We have a minute.
Wait, we have a minute? Okay, I thought we had less than a minute. Okay.
Signal.
We have 1 minute left. Oh, good. And so next week what we're going to do is we're going to come in and we're just going to talk about Peter on his knees.
Mm.
When we do this Bible story, we're going to look at it and we're going to say, what is it? How is it that when we're confronted with Jesus, why does it bring us to our knees? How has it brought us to our knees? And then what to do when somebody is brought to their knees? Okay, that's what we're going to look at and sum up for this session on this particular Bible story. We're so glad that you have been joining us here at Cultivating Hearts and excited to have Janelle and Haley from Grace. And what a treat. And we have one more session left on this series. So God bless.